Set in Tango by Hungarian writer Laszlo Krasznahorkai takes place at a collective farm that's mired in decay. Its forsaken inhabitants stumble about in the darkness amid rust and cobwebs and scheme against each other as they wait for a mysterious figure who may be a savior, a con man, a government functionary, or worse. Mr. Krasznahorkai's work has been compared with that of Beckett, Melville, Gogol, other masters, and Satan Tango is his debut novel. It was published in Hungary in 1985. Now there's an English translation by George Sertes that has just been made available by New Directions. I'm very pleased that it has brought Laszlo Krasznahorkai to our show today. Hello.
Hello.
This book was, as I said, originally published 27 years ago. A few of your later books have already been translated into English. Is it strange to be read out of sequence?
Yeah, of course, because that was an absolutely different time than today, of course. Not only in Middle Europe, but everywhere, I think so. And especially in Hungary. That was absolutely different time and different mood and atmosphere. But the book remained, actually, I think so.
It's still actually, read today.
Actually.
Well, there are other factors here. This is not just about a communist country. We read Kafka, even though he wrote about a world that doesn't exist today. American audiences may be familiar with your work through films that Bélatar made from them, including a very long one based on this book.
Yeah, actually not longer than is absolutely necessary.
Well, but it's 7 hours long, isn't it?
But sometimes a sentence takes time, and actually a revolution needs a little bit more time than 7.5 hours, you know.
In one of the scenes, the characters dance the tango in a drunken revel. Why the tango? Is it popular in Hungary?
No. I lied. I like very much the tango, and I loved very much the tango, and I will love it. I think so.
But you've even structured the book on the moves of the tango.
Yeah. Yeah, because the tango, the dance, has a very strange structure, a little bit forth and back, you know, and that was a very, very, very interesting possibilities to find this dance form in the literature, on transport to transport this structure for the literature, because I wanted to show a human community. Actually, not a dramatic scene or a story, but rather a story of a human being, so of a human condition, you know. And for this aim, I didn't need a very permanently construction, or rather some structure when readers and writer can go forth and back,
six steps forward and then six steps back.
Yes,
but isn't that rather ambitious for a first novel?
Yeah, that was my first, and if everything had good. That would be the last, because I wanted to write only one book. I didn't want to be a so-called writer, you know. I lived on the absolute lowest side of society. I chose that.
But you had studied law and philosophy, had you?
Yeah, but why not with philosophy in the lowest side of the society? That was more better with Nietzsche and Heraclitus, you know, in the most simple people.
Well, in writing a book like this, you were still writing it in the last stages of the crumbling communist state, but you had to be conscious of censors and.
No, that's very interesting.
Because you do say that you don't see yourself as a political writer, but this book has a political side to it.
You're absolutely right. but, you know, in that time, a beautiful sentence was enough to be provocative. And I wanted to write only beautiful sentences, but that was enough for a provocation. But the story of this book, the possibility actually, or reality of the publishing, that was absolute mysterious for me too, and for my friends, for every normal people in Hungary, because that was every other than something like the Communist Party loved, and nobody understood that. Why could we that? And
I mean, why it got through?
That was perhaps a small trick of a man who was a director of this publishing house. 1985, because he was a former secret agent, and perhaps he had some problem with the Kadar regime, and he wanted to show that I have a place in this, in that publishing house Magvető, and I have power to publish such a book like Krasna Orkoi Satan Tango.
So here's this man who's trying to show off his power, and he then ushers your book through the publishing process, despite the fact that it might have had problems otherwise. Well, it's set in a crumbling Soviet-era collective farm that has a very feudal feel about it. And adultery, abuse, poverty, prostitution are all over the place. Did you have a particular place and time in mind? Is this based on things that you actually observed?
Yeah, I lived in a countryside of Hungary, and I stood very, very much time in different bars, different stations. I wandered actually in a former Hungary. I changed my places every 3-6 months.
You just moved. Every 6 months.
Yes. Actually, yeah. But it belonged to this story that I had to be always a job, because that was forbidden not to have a job. Perhaps every listener knows this fact. This is very, very, very interesting now.
Well, in this country, of course, it's definitely not forbidden to not have a job.
Yes,
so
yes.
Many people don't have jobs, unfortunately. And I suspect now in Hungary is a problem too.
Yeah.
Especially with the new government that has caused so much trouble. You've said that when you wrote the book, you were not concerned at all with politics, only with the desire to explore why everyone around you seems so sad.
Yeah, you know, I'm living now always under a cloud. And this is a cloud of sadness. And if I move right, this cloud moves with me. If I move left, the cloud moves with me. And that's why I see the thing a little bit sad. For example, a rain could be also sad, and the sun as well. And of course, there are some fields on Earth where people live without this kind of cloud. But this is my fate, with this own cloud above me.
Now, people must have read things into this book when it was published. What kind of reaction did you get? Did you get good reviews?
Here?
No, it wasn't translated here until recently.
Yes, the reviews were absolutely fantastic, in America especially. That was a big surprise for me, because I thought that how can readers understand these long sentences?
You have very long sentences, whole paragraphs.
And this mood, this atmosphere. People believe very often that in Hungary, that our life can understand only we. in Hungarian. But this is absolutely not true. If I am in Egypt or if I am now in the United States, I found so many fantastic readers, and everything from the Southern Tango was absolute understandable.
Well, it also has been translated by a poet. And I assume that's something that pleases you because language is so important. George Schurtis did the translation here.
Yeah.
Because Hungarian, I've been told, is one of the most difficult languages in the world and one of the most difficult languages to translate.
Yeah, that was really, really a big task for George Schurtis. George Schurtis really is really a wonderful poet, and his fantastic ability we needed with my wonderful American publisher, Mrs. Barbara Epler. We needed George, the person, his soul, his ability, his fine, sensitive soul for the Hungarian and for the English language, because that was really sometimes almost impossible to solve translate.
Well, I want to read a sentence.
Yeah,
one sentence. It could be any sentence, but I'm going to read this sentence, which is not brief. He gazed sadly at the threatening sky, at the burned-out remnants of a locust-plagued summer, and suddenly saw on the twig of an acacia, as in a vision, the progress of spring, summer, fall, and winter, as if the whole of time were a frivolous interlude in the much greater spaces of eternity, a brilliant conjuring trick to produce something apparently orderly out of chaos, to establish a vantage point from which chance might begin to look like necessity. And he saw himself nailed to the cross of his own cradle and coffin, painfully trying to tear his body away, only eventually to deliver himself utterly naked, without identifying mark, stripped down to essentials, into the care of the people whose duty it was to wash the corpses, people obeying an order snapped out of the dry air against a background loud with torturers and flares of skin, where he was obliged to regard the human condition without a trace of pity, without a single possibility of any way to life, because by then he would know for certain that all his life he had been playing with cheaters who had marked the cards and who would in the end strip him even of his last means of defense, of that hope of someday finding his way back home. That is one long sentence in which you include an awful lot of information, and the book is filled with sentences like that. Do you think this grows out of your philosophical bent?
I lived between people who wanted to show that his dignity hasn't lost, and that's why he wanted to say, to talk about a question where the main character was he or themselves. And if you want to say something very suggestive, if I want to convince you that Hungary is a country with terrific people or with terrified people, I have to use a language, a spoken language, and I choose actually this spoken language. Of course, a little bit artificial way was it, but the source of this language was the spoken language, and this wish to convince the people.
Your work has been compared with that of Thomas Bernhardt, Jose Saramago, Roberto Bolaño, David Foster Wallace, Melville, Gogol, Beckett. I would assume Kafka also would be an important influence.
You know, this is the Olymp of writer, Olympus, yeah, of writers, and I am down. I stand down, and I I see the top of this wonderful mountain with Beckett and Kafka and so on. It gives me power to know that this mountain exists, especially for me.
Well, I feel affinities to the Kafka's The Castle, and I wonder whether in Eastern Europe a city like Prague and another one like Budapest might be more similar than I'd imagine, even though the languages are so different.
But the languages are very, very different, of course. Hungarian language is a very fragile language, like a language of a very hidden prince, of a very secret, very far country, somewhere from Siberia. I don't know actually the source of this language, but I like very much to use it.
Now, you've lived all over Europe, in the United States, in Asia. Where are you living now?
I'm living now in Berlin and in the near Budapest.
And you said in an interview that you often go into exile and that there's no place worth yearning for. There isn't anything anywhere anymore. Do you still feel that way?
Yes, actually. It hasn't changed. In my life, there aren't many changes.
Satan Tango by Laszlo Krasznahorkai is now available in English from New Directions, and it has been my great pleasure to talk with you today. Thank you so much for coming by.
Thank you.